The Capital Investment Committee hearing for March 8th is called to order. We don't have quorum yet, and so members, today we will hear 16 bonding bills on an informational-only basis. Each bill author has been allotted 5 minutes and one testifier per presentation with another testifier invited for technical support. So I'm asking everyone to please be within your allotted time frame. And now with Representative Zhang here, we do have a quorum. Representative Ryder, can I have a motion to move the minutes for March 6th?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move approval of the minutes for March 6th.
Representative Ryder moves approval of the minutes for March 6th. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. First on the agenda, House File 144, Representative Frederick. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The first bill, House File 144, is a bill that would appropriate $1.15 million to the city of Eagle Lake for their water infrastructure upgrades. And I'm just going to leave it there and turn it over to the testifier.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair Lee and committee. My name is Jennifer Brumland, City Administrator for the city of Eagle Lake. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 144 on behalf of the city of Eagle Lake. And thank you to Representative Frederick for carrying this important piece of legislation. The city of Eagle Lake is a growing community with a population of 3,278 people. We are located just a few minutes away from the large regional center of Mankato. Most of our residents work outside of Eagle Lake, but when they're done working, they come back to Eagle Lake and expect to enjoy a high quality of life. In order to continue to retain our existing residents and thrive as a growing community, Eagle Lake must be able to provide access to safe drinking water. We are seeking $1.15 million for pre-design and design work necessary for the construction of a new water treatment facility to provide clean drinking water to our residents and also address water quality issues, including high levels of manganese. A health risk advisory was received from the Minnesota Department of Health in 2022 due to having a high level of manganese in our drinking water system. While our drinking water complies with the Safe Drinking Water Act standards, recent testing indicates that our water has high levels of manganese that are greater than the Minnesota Department of Health recommended health-based value. Children and adults who drink water with high levels of manganese for a long time may have problems with memory, attention, and motor skills. Infants may develop learning and behavior problems if they drink water with too much manganese in it. Manganese levels currently exceed the health advisory limits for infants. At this time, we are unable to treat manganese with our current system, which consists of two active wells, an elevated storage tank, and a distribution system. With a new water treatment facility, we would have a new well house, and a treatment facility. So I urge your support today for a request of $1.15 million for pre-design and design work necessary for the construction of a new water treatment facility to provide clean drinking water to our residents and address water quality issues, and most importantly, to remove manganese, high levels of manganese from our water. So thank you for allowing me to testify on behalf of the city of Eagle Lake in support of House File 144. I hope that we have your support of this bill. And also thank you to Representative Frederick, and thank you, Chair Lee and committee members, for your time and consideration of this important piece of legislation.
Thank you. Seeing no questions or comments, thank you, Representative Frederick. Any closing comments on the first bill, House File 144?
Thank you, Chair and committee members. I just hope to be able to earn your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. Next on the agenda, House File 145, Representative Frederick. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. House File 145 is the similar request of what was introduced last biennium. For those that served on the committee last year, you did come to my community in Mankato. You were able to see the wastewater treatment facility and the needs that were upgrade there. Unfortunately, the story actually has gotten worse since then. One of the facilities or one of the buildings at the wastewater treatment facility, they actually had to turn off some of their HVAC systems there because there's a gas leak in the building itself, and they are concerned about the building exploding. And so this is not just a Mankato project. This is a project that affects the entire region. This treatment facility impacts all of Mankato, North Mankato, Eagle Lake, Skyline, and many more communities. If the legislature can approve this request and we can get this built, even the city of Lake Crystal is looking to tie in their wastewater treatment needs to the city of Mankato. It will cost significantly less to do that than if the city of Lake Crystal were to come before the legislature and ask for their own treatment facility. So this is something that where the need just is continuously getting greater, and I strongly ask for the support of this important piece of legislation, and turn it over to my testifier, Mr. Chair.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chair, I'm Susan Arntz, the city manager for the city of Mankato. Thank you to the members of the committee to continue to hear about this important project for our community. Representative Frederick did a very good job of articulating from a high level the importance of this project for the region. In addition to the communities that he mentioned, Madison Lake, the Lake Washington Sanitary Sewer District, in addition to the Lower Sioux Indian Community, Granite Falls, and the City of Walnut Grove are also phosphorus trading partners for this facility. It has a huge impact on our region. It is failing. Our engineers have put it in a failed condition. The timing of that failure is unknown, and we recognize that this project was in a previous bill heard and considered this week for a portion of funding, and we hope to continue to work with you to more fully fund this request. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no member questions or comments, Representative Frederick, any closing comments?
I just want to reiterate again that this is a project that is not just for one community. It's outside of even just my district. This is something that impacts a large chunk of South Central Minnesota. And the longer we just very much need this appropriation to get approved by this committee, and I would greatly appreciate the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. Next on the agenda, Representative O'Neill, House File 746. Welcome. Please proceed, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 746 is to design and build a water treatment plant for the city of Monticello. And with that, I'll turn it over to my testifier.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Matt Leonard, Public Works Director, City Engineer for the city of Monticello. Thanks, Representative O'Neill, for sponsoring this bill. Thanks for letting us speak today about the City of Monticello's need for a water treatment facility. The city has five deep municipal wells that feed directly into the distribution system with no further treatment. The Safe Drinking Water Act requires the EPA to issue a list of 30 unregulated contaminants to be monitored by public water systems. Manganese is one of those contaminants, and the EPA is continuing to evaluate potential risks to adults, children, and infants. The Minnesota Department of Health, in conjunction with the University of Minnesota, determined that children and adults who drink water with high levels of manganese for an extended period of time experience problems with memory, attention, and motor skills. These side effects are more acute in infants who may develop long-term learning and behavioral problems. Minnesota Department of Health has established a maximum recommended concentration in drinking water of 100 parts per billion for infants and 300 parts per billion for adults and children. Water quality samples taken at each of the city's five wells show that all five wells exceed the maximum recommended manganese levels for adults, and four of those five wells exceed the levels for children. One well had manganese levels over 800 parts per billion, which is eight times the recommended levels for infants. The average manganese levels for all five wells was 685, which is double the 300 parts per billion recommended level for children and six times that for infants. Currently, City of Monticello residents are required to complete their own water treatment. Residents with low incomes or those living in multifamily housing units likely do not have access to these options. It is tough to think about the impact on families who must try to purchase bottled water to prepare food for their young families or prepare formula for their infants, or those who would like to treat the water but are unable to because they do not live in a single-family home. We believe it is our community to equitably treat municipal water. A feasibility study for water treatment options recommended that the city construct a centralized water treatment plant at a cost of approximately $28 million. The large project cost is the factor impeding the construction of this facility, making the utility rate impacts to the 5,300 households in the city too much. According to Minnesota Department of Health estimates, 3% of Minnesota communities in Minnesota on public water systems receive water above the 300 parts per billion level for manganese. Monticello currently falls within that 3%. With your help, we can take steps necessary for our community to be part of the other 97% of Minnesotans who receive safe drinking water with manganese levels below 100 parts per billion. The city also has high levels of iron. These can reduce fire flow and other cosmetic impacts to water, and this treatment facility will also help eliminate this chemical from the water as well. So thanks again for hearing more about our project, and if there's any questions.
Thank you, Director. Seeing no questions or comments, Representative O'Neill, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your consideration, and I know a portion of this was already in the previous bonding bill, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Lizegard. First up is House File 595. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just a general announcement that I seem to make every time. If you know your Public Facilities Authority rankings, would you please tell us? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Lizegard, please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair Lee and members. First up, we have House File 595 for the City of Gilbert, and this is a $6.25 million request to be used to construct a new water treatment plant. And with me today, I have the mayor of Gilbert.
Mayor Smith, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Good afternoon, Chair Lee and House Committee members. I'm Tom Smith, the mayor of the City of Gilbert. And next to me, I brought Operation Director Sam Lotiger. I want to thank the committee on having the City of Gilbert come down to St. Paul for this presentation on our new water plant project. The city is asking for $6,750,000 in bonding bill funds out of an estimated $13 million project. The City of Gilbert has a population of approximately 1,675 people and a median income of approximately $50,000 per year. There are roughly 820 water services that the City of Gilbert serves. The City of Gilbert water rate is approximately $60 for an average family of four. That's about 4,000 gallons a month and an additional base fee to come up with the total user fee. The existing treatment plant was built in 1915 and took water from the lake, filtered the water, and then distributed it throughout the city. The water treatment plant was rebuilt in 1961. Two new wells were drilled and upgraded to include a new lime softening plant due to the high manganese in the water. In the late 70s, more upgrades were made to include some new controls and a new well. In the 90s, we installed some lime equipment, sludge processing equipment, into the building. In 2006, there were two new wells along with updates that included heat, electric, new valves, lime feed equipment, and some safety improvements. This seems like a long list of upgrades that were completed to the water plant over the years, but it is still a small portion of the list that still needs to be completed. In 2018, the City of Gilbert hired SEH Engineering to do a feasibility study on the water treatment facility. The study looked at a total renovation of existing facility, building new facility, and also looked to see if neighboring cities could supply the city with water. Through a lengthy study process, it was determined that the current facility has far exceeded the industry standard design life for similar facilities. Due to the cost of major improvements that would be necessary to rehabilitate the existing water treatment plant and treatment process, the city has decided to pursue the design and construction of a new pellet softening water treatment facility. To date, the city has completed two different pilot studies. The city examined three different types of water treatment processes with the proposed water treatment pellet processing system. The types included aeration for stripping carbon dioxide, pellet softening equipment to remove hardness, iron, and manganese, and recarbonation for water stabilization and dual media filtration with silica sand and anthracite. The existing sludge facilities and abandoned wells are planned to be decommissioned and demolished and are included in the project funding request. The preliminary site design is completed. The city will be starting on the final design shortly and is hoping that this committee will include the city of Gilbert on the bonding bill for $6,750,000 in funding for the new treatment plant that the city is going to build. The city has taken a lot of debt over the past several years with infrastructure projects, including water line, sewer line, and fire hydrant replacement, water reservoirs, water tower renovations, and water metering projects. Also, a new sewer plant that meets a higher mercury removal limits. This is a shovel-ready project with the cost estimated at $13 million. The city is requesting $6,750,000 from the state to help invest in our community to offset some of the burden for the 820 users. I would like to thank the committee and Chair Lee for listening to our request. We hope the committee will strongly consider our request for this much-needed project in the city of Gilbert. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mayor Smith. Members, any questions, comments? Seeing none, Representative Lisgard, any closing comments on this?
Really quick, I'd just like to thank the two testifiers for driving all the way down. It's 3-plus hours, and this is how much it means to them. If you guys recall, many of you were on the tour. They got a tour of this facility hosted by this young man right here, and you've seen since 1915 how old it was. It needs to be upgraded, and this is a critically needed project, and I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Lisgard. Next on the agenda, House File 85, Representative Lisgard.
Yes, sir.
Please proceed, Representative Lisgard.
Okay, before I begin, everyone has a bottle of water right in front of you, and this is water from Buell, and as of today, it was just awarded the best tasting water in the state of Minnesota by the
Minnesota Rural Water System.
Yeah, Minnesota Rural Water, so enjoy, and that should get me some brownie points, but anyway... No, this is a $2 million project for the city of Buell, and I'll let, I think Tony is going to speak on behalf of the city, or the mayor wants to?
I'll take it.
All right, we'll let the mayor.
Please identify yourself or proceed.
My name is Brandon Carter. I currently sit as mayor of the city of Buell. Chair Lee and members of the House Capital Investment Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of House File 85. A $2 million bonding request for our aging water infrastructure. Thank you to Representative Lisgard for authoring the bill. With me today is our City Administrator, Anthony Jeffries, who will help answer any questions you may have. In 2018, the City of Buell began the process of identifying much-needed critical repairs to our aging water infrastructure. Buell prides itself as having the finest water in America. Our water comes from a glacial aquifer located 700 feet deep encased in 300 feet of solid granite under our city. Minimal treating is done to the water. It contains no chlorination. Since the inception of our first well in 1901, Buell's water has been the purest water around. Though the water requires very little treatment, we have a water infrastructure and distribution system that is very old and limited, and of limited capacity, which marginalizes its effectiveness from a public use and safety, public safety standpoint. We're also looking to expand our water system for future industrial development along the Highway 169 corridor, as well as continued further residential development. The next phase of our project consists of upgrading our 200,000-gallon water storage and distribution facilities. Upgrades of our water storage and distribution facilities will significantly reduce operation and maintenance costs for the city and will bring the city into compliance with the Minnesota Department of Health guidelines and will ensure adequate fire suppression capabilities for the city. Upgrades to our current infrastructure will ensure reliable services for our residents and businesses and promote economic development within the city. Above all, these upgrades will help to protect and continue to provide the finest water in America. Mr. Chair and members, thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Lizagar, so on the bill, House File 85 says $2 million, but in the letter that we received from the city of Beale, the request is for $3.47 million?
Yeah.
So it is the $3 million that's the request and not the $2
million. So it's the second phase. I would let the city administrator address that, but in conversations that we had, I originally had two, and then they're looking at the next phase. So I think that that's when they put in the additional.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chair, Anthony Jeffries, City Administrator, City of Buell. Representatives. Representative Liz Lagarde is correct. The appropriation request is for $2 million. The project total cost at this time is estimated at $3,047,500. That's to take advantage of expanding our only remaining business corridor for further industrial and commercial investment.
Thank you, Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, Representative Lizagar, any closing comments?
No, just thank you again. Obviously, you saw that I presented two bills that had to do with bringing water to the community. So I'd appreciate the support.
Thank you, Representative Lizagar. So next on the agenda, we have three bills from Representative Harder. First one, House File 264. Welcome, Representative Harder. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and members. The cookies passed around are from Representative Knutson and I. It's afternoon, and we all need a little dessert. I want to thank you, Chair Lee, and members for hearing this bill for the City of New Germany. Is House File 264. I have Twyla Menth, who is with the city, and she is going to provide more information on this bill. Thank you.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, I'm Twyla Menth. I'm the city clerk for the city of New Germany. New Germany's population is about 465. We're at the western end of Carver County. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and hopefully we can get some funding for our small little city. Our issue is the wastewater is at full capacity. We cannot issue any new building permits. The city has developments with infrastructure in place. One of our developments is called Black Forest, which is totally built out. We need to start phase two. The infrastructure is in ground, but we have the wastewater capacity, so we cannot allow any more new rooftops. Currently, the wastewater treatment facility we have cannot meet the MPCA regulations. The city needs the funding to add the capacity and expand the wastewater treatment plant. Our little city cannot take out any loans because of a previous $10 million water infrastructure debt. We have very high utility rates. They're very unaffordable, probably one of the highest in Carver County. Many of our residents are elderly on a fixed income. Sorry, she was dangling the cookie, it caught my eye. Many of the residents are on fixed income, first-time home buyers, and our residents are truly financially burdened with the higher property taxes as well. More rooftops or this bonding bill would add workforce housing to Carver County. New Germany definitely fits the affordable housing bill, and many of our lots are already sold, and the homes would be constructed quickly. Currently, we're ranked 64th out of 276 on the project priority list with a score of 68. So any help we can get, it would bring financial relief to our residents. We can't afford. If we don't get this, we're dead in the water. So thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions or comments, Representative Harder, any closing comments on this bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee and members, for hearing this very important bill. As Twyla said, this is very important for the city of New Germany to expand and survive. And so I would appreciate your support on this particular bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Next on the agenda, House File 376, Representative Harder. Please proceed.
Again, thank you, Chair Lee and members for here for the opportunity to present House File 376. It's to assist Watertown in the construction of a much-needed water tower, and I have Mayor Mike Walters to discuss the project.
Mayor, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and committee members for hearing House File 376, a bill that would assist in constructing a water tower for Watertown. And thank you to Representative Harder for her support of this bill. My name is Michael Walters. I am the mayor of the city of Watertown. Watertown's a city of about 5,000 people and is located about 40 miles west of St. Paul. The city of Watertown has been taking significant action to limit water consumption within city limits. City council has implemented an odd even watering restrictions, a tiered pricing model, so large consumers pay a premium for excess water usage, and we've implemented a rebate program for smart irrigation controllers. And even with these measures in place, there's a fear that we won't have adequate water supply during our peak demand for our fire department in emergency situations. In order to ensure that we have adequate water supply to protect our residents, regional businesses in our city, and the school district who serves Watertown and Mayor and the surrounding townships, Watertown needs to construct a second water tower. Watertown is currently constructing a $25 million wastewater treatment facility. It is needed to facilitate further growth and to meet tightening state regulations on water discharging. The city is committed to investing in the treatment facility and the water tower for those reasons, and is asking the Capital Investment Committee and the state to help address the funding gaps to complete the water tower project. Thank you again, Chair Lee and committee members, for the opportunity to speak to you about this project. Thank you for the consideration. Our team, Jake Foster, our city administrator, also we have our utilities director, and we'd be glad to answer any questions. And again, thank you for the consideration today.
Thank you, Mayor Walters. Seeing no questions or comments, Representative Harder, any closing comments on this bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee and members, for hearing this important project, which is for Watertown, a small but growing community. And I look for your support on this particular bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Last for Representative Harder is House File 542. Please proceed. Please proceed.
Thank you again, Chair Lee and members, for hearing this bill for New Auburn. I would like to highlight that there is a handout in your packet, and if you look on page 4, there's a new one being sent out or somewhere. So on page 4, when you look at the funding package, there was a line that was left out, and it's right above, it should go right above where it says total project cost, and it's a local city cost, which is $600,000, which was not in the original handout. There is one being handed out now with that corrected information. So I have with me today to talk about this project, and it is Kurt Reitz from the New Auburn.
Hello, please Chairman. Identify yourself and proceed.
Chairman and members, my name is Curtis Reitz. I'm with the city of New Auburn, Minnesota. Our city engineer, Samuel Fink, from the engineering firm of SEH, is also here to answer any technical questions that I may not be able to answer. One of our councilmen, Michael Cotterman, is also in the audience. We're here from the city of New Auburn, population of 415 people, about 70 miles west of here. I'd like to thank the committee for hearing this bill, and I thank Representative Harder for sponsoring H.R. 542. What is needed? Major improvements to our wastewater treatment pond, spray irrigation system, and sanitary sewer system. Storm sewer additions and corrections to better drain our community, and water system improvements to improve water quality, water flow, fire protection, and water accountability. The improvements needed in our wastewater ponds and spray irrigation site and community sanitary sewer system. Our ponds are aged and undersized for current flows. Our spray irrigation field is often overloaded in violation with our MPCA permit. We did do a cost evaluation to connect to another city, and the cost showed about 20 to 25% higher capital costs and higher operational and maintenance costs. Our main lift station and force main are aged and deteriorating. and have limited flow capacity and are in jeopardy of failure. We have a leaking sanitary sewer system with leaking manholes, leaking sewer lines, allowing excess groundwater into our system, which causes lift station capacity issues and backups in basements during wet events. We also have collapsing sewer lines with sags contributing to raw wastewater bypass events. Our storm sewer improvements needed are due to failing and collapsing of some of our current storm drain tiles. We have undersized drain tiles that do not accommodate average to higher rainfalls or even snow melts. We need to alleviate flooding of personnel property and to remove excess surface water to help reduce inflow and infiltration of clear water into our sanitary sewer system. Our water main improvements and water main looping needs are for better water flow, better fire protection, and improved water quality. We also need a modern water meter reading system for good accountability of the water that we're producing and selling to our customers. The city's already invested about $112,000 in a preliminary engineering study so that we could get everything ready and get our estimates and get our submittals to the USDA. As you can see, I won't go over the numbers, but we have it broke out into wastewater ponds, wastewater collection, water improvements and storm sewers, and then city costs, which would be legal and easements and other things that wouldn't be fundable. While we're hoping, or we're asking from the bonding committee is for $9 million. We're relying on the USDA for about $8.7 million, and the city is still going to have a minimum of $600,000 of cost. Our PPL ranking on the clean water list for our wastewater treatment project, we're number 89 out of 276. On the drinking water PPL ranking, we're number 39 out of 674 for our water main improvements. We're number 149 out of 674 for our water tower improvements. And we're number 150 out of 674 on our water meter improvements. There is no storm water improvements that are eligible. The positive outcomes that we want to see is to have wastewater ponds and spray irrigation capacity for now and into the future. We want to stop over applications and stop our MPCA permit violations at our wastewater spray irrigation site. We want to improve our sanitary sewer system and our lift station capacity and its ability to convey water to our ponds without backing up in our homeowners' basements. We want to preserve and protect Highland Lake, which is abutting our community. We want to be a good member and have MPCA permit compliance. We want to protect properties from flooding damage, have better fire protection and drinking water, and we want to have accurate water use and accountability for our billing system. Thank you, Chair Lee and members, and we appreciate your hearing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reitz or Representative Harder. So the bill, House File 542, has an amount of $6 million. But in the handout, it's $9 million. And so is it correct that the request is for $9 million and not $6 million?
Mr. Chair, I can take care of that. Our last submittal was last year. It was via remotely, and at that time it was $6 million. The project has changed minorly, but I think our engineer would attest that with the COVID-based price increases, is a substantial amount why our project went up and why we're looking for $9 million.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Seeing no other questions, Representative Harder, any closing comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee and members, for hearing this project. New Auburn is a small city in Sibley County of roughly 412 people, and so this project is very important for that city. So thank you for the opportunity to bring this to you today.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Next on the agenda, House File 755, Representative McDonald's. And Representative McDonald, I understand that you have the House File 755A1 amendment. Can you explain the amendment and then proceed?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Yeah, the amendment is in front of you. It deletes one of the lines of 3.6 and adds a 5.6 million for the request.
Okay, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman, for giving the bill a hearing. Committee members, sorry I did not bring cookies, even though this isn't my first rodeo, but Representative Lilly, I'll bring the milk next time. This is a project for the city of South Haven. We need a water improvement funding provided for a very important project in South Haven. We have the city administrator, city clerk, she does it all in the city of South Haven, Ms. Stenson, and she's going to explain the project.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and House Floor. My name is Melissa Stenson. I'm the city administrator of the city of South Haven. Our overall project, utility systems are very poor condition, and are failing. The existing water distribution system contains bacterial slime pitchered with mold growth. In the picture that you see it in black and white. It is not our sewer. That is our water in our water main through our whole system. Our water tower in interior and exterior has lead paint issues and structural deficiencies. Poor sanitary piping has led to residential sewer backups, and storm sewer improvements are needed to prevent current flooding events resulting from failed storm and poor road elevations. The population of the city of South Haven is 185. The town is about 20 miles from St. Cloud. Our household median income is about $45,000 with a poverty rate of 15.6. We have about 88 connections, and our household utility bill is about $60 a month. Our future project for phase two, totaling $10.7 million, will allow the remaining utility system improvements needed to include water main replacement, required to alleviate bacterial slime. Our PPL score is number 15. Lift station road access project to prevent flooding and raising the road at the access point. Stormwater improvements for current outlet for insufficient leads to considerable flooding and backups. South Haven knows that this final project will improve the quality of life and health and safety and well-being of the city residents and visitors to our community. The city of South Haven is respectfully asking for 5.6 in legislative bonding. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Denson. Seeing no questions or comments, Rosa McNano, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The bonding bill is very important, as you all know. You're on the committee. I've never been on this committee. But for the sake of the small towns, this is why we do it, that the small towns with 150 populations simply cannot sustain the infrastructure needed and the financial needs. So, therefore, I just ask you to respectfully consider this request for the city of South Haven, and thank you for the hearing.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Next on the agenda, Representative Johnson, House File 1976.
Oh, cookie, yes.
Welcome, Representative Johnson, and I understand that your testifier will be joining us remotely, and so please proceed.
Chair Lee, members, I want to thank you for this opportunity to present this request to you today. It is very important to the Braham community and to the city of Braham. A little background. The city, because of the infrastructure needs and the age, has actually had to raise property taxes about 40% to start covering the cost just on the emergency repairs. Many of the infrastructure that's involved goes back to the WPA days. For those of you old enough to remember WPA, some of the younger members here might not even know what that is. But the lines, the water lines and the sewer lines in that area, water lines are lead sealed. We still have lead service pipes going to some of the homes. Some have been replaced. They're still trying to locate all of them. Because of the age, it's very difficult. The wastewater is still the old clay pipe that is 60 to 80 years old. I've actually helped repair them when I worked for the city of Braham as a police officer back in the 80s. They've done what they could to make them last, and now with the road needing to be redone, now is the time to do that. You don't want to put down a new road and have to tear it up in a year or two. And also because of the age of the infrastructure, earlier this year we had a major fire in the city of Braham where the school's bus garage burned down. Fortunately, the buses were not there, and they only lost two or three buses. But the stress on the water lines from that fire caused numerous water main breaks across the city. Some places were some homes were out of water for over a day while those were being repaired. So it shows the great need for the city, and I do have the mayor, Nate George, on the line to explain it a little bit more.
Mayor George, welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee, and thank you, Republican Lead Erdahl and members, for the opportunity to speak before you today on such an important issue affecting 1,800 of your fellow Minnesotans of all political, cultural, and economic backgrounds. My name is Nate George. I am the mayor of Bram. The 2023 PFA rankings has Bram at 250 of 674 for clean water and 82 of 276 for drinking water. Bram faces unprecedented fiscal and infrastructure challenges, needing to replace past life expectancy water and sewer infrastructure that is 90 plus years old in most parts. The total cost of the project is over $25 million. Our council and city staff have already made significant improvements to our financial situation and put Bram on a brighter path going forward. The entire council voted not to take any pay or per diem while this crisis persists. We acknowledge and are happy to hear of the general fund allocation bill, which passed in the House Monday night. In that bill, Bram was funded over $10.2 million, which was the 50% match from 2 years ago. Due to inflation and new MPCA requirements, the 50% match is now $12.74 million. Receiving just 50% of the total project cost would allow us to begin making critical upgrades nearly immediately. Bram residents' monthly water bills will soar to $157 or more without funding to fix the infrastructure. You have HF 1977 before you today with the GO bond request. You were asked to split out or ask in another bill, HF 1975, but when you put the two bills together, it totals $12.74 million. Later this month, we also expect to announce a major economic development venture for our industrial park that will benefit Central Minnesota and beyond. We will need to be able to provide higher capacity sewer and drinking water capabilities, and your 50% match will help us achieve that. Lastly, catastrophic failure of our water or sewer infrastructure could have environmental implications for the entire metro area, and we already have massive INI problems. Bram sits atop the shallowest parts of the Mount Simon Aquifer, spreading under the Twin Cities structural basin. Failing sewer systems leak sewer water into the major source of drinking water for the greater metro. Our residents shower in orange water. We have to boil our water every time another water main breaks. And as Representative Johnson just explained, we've had a couple already this year. Businesses have to shut down and lose revenue. I also want to take a second to thank the committee for visiting Bram in 2021 on the first day of your touring of bonding projects. We hope you enjoyed your visit to our event center, a facility we were proudly able to fund locally. I appreciate your time and most importantly, your support for this bill.
Thank you, Mayor George. Representative Johnson, any closing comments?
I just want to thank the committee for considering this and understanding the huge need that the city of Bram has, and with the age of the infrastructure, as Mayor George said, some of it is pushing an entire century, and it's in desperate need to be replaced. The city's done all they can, and without assistance in this, it's going to be huge. Even more huge property tax increases and wastewater and water bills for the citizens of Bram.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Next on the agenda, House File 1246, Representative Navani. Welcome, Representative Navani. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, for having me here today. House File 1246 is a request to assist residents that have a failed community sewer service in the Rolling Hills, a small development in a remote part of Northeast Elk River. Here to explain more is Justin Femright, Public Works Director for the City of Elk River.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Justin Femright. I'm the Public Works Director and City Engineer for the City of Elk River. Thank you for your time and consideration of our request here today, which is really to help a small development in the city of Elk River consisting of 28 homes who have a failing cluster septic system whereby their only option for sewer disposal at this point would be to pump about 30,000 feet to the city of Elk River's public system. A cost estimate on that project for 28 homes is about $2.6 to $2.8 million, whereby the city of Elk River has offered to take the project on from a financing standpoint and assess it back, leaving costs at each residential property in excess of $93,000 to maintain inhabitable home without a project and without help. They have no sewer disposal options any longer. At the city level, we've worked with the Homeowners Association, we've worked with the University of Minnesota Extension Service, the MPCA, and the Department of Agriculture in trying to find options for these folks. The project itself does rank 83rd on the Clean Water Project priority list, and I'd entertain any more questions that you might have.
So, you know, questions or comments? Representative Avani, any closing comments?
Thank you, Chair Lee. As you said, even at the $2 million that was requested in this bill, the numbers are still substantial and staggering. Many of my homeowners are reporting that this is approximately 20 to 25% of their home value, and we've had people that are considering walking away from their home because they can't sell it, and it's they don't have enough equity to cover what they owe in the assessment that if it comes up. On Monday's bill, we had $1.1 million brought forward with that, and that would still be quite substantial. Some of the people would be up to half of their value. So this is a very important bill, and I'd like to add that one of the reasons the bill is important to me is that the project was established in the early 90s, and the project was originally designed to be an Elk River approved, a city approved project, but then it went over on the estimate and was supposed to go to the state, and the state somehow got dropped. This was not approved by the city. It was not approved by the state. No one wants to take responsibility for this failed system, and now they're stuck with the thing that they can't fix, and that's one of my reasons why for supporting this project. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lotney. Next up, Representative Knutson, House File 1308. Welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I have House File 1308. It is to appropriate $5.8 million to design, construct, and equip capital improvements to the South Pine Beach treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant. My testifiers today are remote. They include Paul Sandy, the engineer with WSB, and Laura Christensen, who is the city administrator of the city of East Salt Lake.
So, Administrator Christensen, welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Knutson, Mr. Chair, and committee members. My name is Laura Christensen, and I'm the city administrator for East Salt Lake. To give you a brief overview of our city, we're a lakeside community located in the Brainerd Lakes area. We have a population of roughly 1,000 year-round residents, but this number greatly increases in the summer months due to seasonal cabin holders and our tremendous tourism support through our numerous resorts, campground, and golf courses. We're a rapidly growing community with large interest in development, including 140 single-family housing development that is in the preliminary plat stage. If you refer to page 3 of your handout, you can see an overview of our city. The 14 miles that we incorporate, approximately half of this area is water, and the city contains about 40 miles of shoreline. 97% of the lakeshore property in East Gull Lake is serviced by our municipal wastewater system, so you can imagine the demand this places on our wastewater infrastructure. Our city operates two wastewater treatment facility plants, both a north and south plant, that were both constructed in 1991. Our south plant, which we invested $6.4 million in local funds in 2005 in order to meet new and more stringent MPCA permit requirements, with special regard to phosphorus removal, can be seen on page 5. And this facility now operates at a 94% phosphorus removal rate. However, our north plant, as referred to on page 6, has received no significant upgrades since its construction over 33 years ago due to the substantial cost for necessary improvements. And this facility is experiencing immense structural and mechanical deterioration and serious operational and safety issues. And due to heightened water quality standards set by the MPCA permit requirements, it no longer can remain in compliance for phosphorus removal. So in 2017, the city initiated a facility plan, which studied an alternative to either decommission this plant or make the necessary improvements. And from the study, it was determined that the most cost-effective route to go would be decommissioning and then rerouting this wastewater to our south plant. Page 7 just scratches the surface of the criticality of this project. For a 15-month period, this plant remained non-compliant for phosphorus removal. Our aeration system has numerous leaks. Our UV disinfection system is problematic. Severe sand filtration system degradation. There's no on-site water, which is a huge safety concern. No influent or effluent metering. No chemical room. One of our blower pumps is non-operational, and there's just a general concern for water quality at the discharge point into the Gull River. So our project proposal is to obviously decommission the north plant and reroute to the south plant. And the main project components would be to install a force main from the north end of the city to the south plant, incorporate an intermediate lift station in order to pump this refuse, and also do improvements to the existing lift stations. There will be some minor improvements to the south treatment plant as well to ensure the increased flows are treated and the necessary environmental standards are met. And just to brief on some of the project benefits, this project will accommodate for future growth of our rapidly developing community while prioritizing environmental protections. It will allow for expansion of our municipal sewer system and hookups to new developments, as well as connection to Gull Lake Resort. Once decommissioned, obviously the maintenance and operational costs will be eliminated at this site, and the consolidation of flows will allow for just one discharge point into the Gull River, and this will protect surface and groundwater, especially at this discharge point. So thanks again for the opportunity to speak with you, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Seeing no questions or comments, Representative, any closing comments?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This is obviously a very important project for the city of East Gull Lake, and I hope that you consider it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Knutson. Next on the agenda, Representative Bliss, House File 1456.
She got away with that one. Is that her first hearing?
Please proceed, Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Chair Lee and members. This bill authorizes $7.2 million to the city of Bagley to replace an aging water infrastructure, both freshwater and sewer lines. And I believe we have a testifier online for me.
So I got Mayor Michael. Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed. So Representative Bliss, the mayor is not on. I don't know if there's anybody else from your...
I can tap dance.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
There
he's
go.
On now. There he welcome, please. You identify yourself and proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chair Lee and Vice Chair Ryer and the committee. We appreciate this time to have a talk with you guys about our project. My name is Sid Michael. I've been the mayor since 2013. With me is Bill Masterson, who's our public utilities manager. And we're dealing with this project. We're requesting $7.2 million. The project itself started out to be about $13.5 million. The first phase of the project we started last year in at $1 million over what it was supposed to be. We figured about 5.5, 5.6. It came in at $1 million or at 6.8 million. And we're going to be bidding this spring the phase two of the project, which is probably going to be come into about the same amount of numbers or possibly even higher. And we had borrowed $13.5 million from USDA in hopes that we were going to be able to do the whole project, and now we're finding out that the total project is could run as high as $17 million instead of $13.5 million. Our medium household income is about $38,000, and 10% of our population is veterans, and over half of them are disabled. Bagley is the county seat, and we are in the Clearwater watershed area. We're close to the Clearwater River, and we're selling approximately 32 million gallons of water a year, but we're pumping up to our lagoons about 46, 48 million gallons a year. We're getting a lot of groundwater in the old tile. Our system is, we're looking at, is probably 60% of it is over 50 years old, 20% of it is between 30 and 50 years old, and about 19% of it is about 30, is less than 30 years old. So we're just tired of kicking the can down the road, and we're trying to get the project up and going, which we started, but we're in desperate need of some money because with the cost of everything, like the other people have said, with COVID and stuff, it's just getting to the point that I don't know, the projects, something's going to have to be left out if we don't aren't able to get any money on this from you guys at the state. And we're on our project, we're doing water distribution, we're doing the sewage, the collection, wastewater collection. We're doing, excuse me here, I got to get my other notes here. We're working on doing wastewater lift stations, water tower rehab, water distribution systems, water meters, stormwater improvements. We're dealing with basically the whole community. We'll have just about every street tore up by the time we're done when we start phase two this year. So if you have any other questions that you can think of for myself or Bill Masterson, we'd be glad to answer them. I appreciate this time and hope that you can help us out.
Thank you, Mayor Michael. So you know, questions or comments, closing comments, Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Chair Lee and Committee, and I just appreciate the time to bring this forward and appreciate the positive votes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bliss. Next on the agenda, Representative Farr, House File 1958. Welcome, Representative Farr. Please proceed. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm here to talk about House File 1958. This is a water treatment plant and infrastructure for the city of Elysian. Elysian is nestled in the Lake Country in southern Le Sueur County. This is a request for the construction of the water treatment facility due to high levels of radium, manganese, and iron bacteria in the wells, and also the infrastructure to get that water from the wells to this treatment facility, and then from the treatment facility back to the distribution center. The request is $3.5 million, which is half of the total cost. The city would pick up the rest. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will defer my time to Mayor Tom.
Mayor, please identify yourself. Proceed.
I'm Mayor Tom McBroom for the City of Elysian. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The city applied to have a new water treatment project listed on the priority list for fiscal year 2023. We scored 30 points and were ranked number 8 in the priority list. The project was listed as not fundable at this time because it was the first time the project was submitted for the project priority list. And no new projects were funded from the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund in fiscal year 2023. The City of Elysian has 708 residents. Its water system consists of two wells, an elevated water tower, and a water distribution center. Currently, the only well located in town near the water tower can provide potable water for the community. The second well is inundated with iron bacteria and cannot be used as a potable source for the city. Several attempts over the past years have been attempted to reclaim well 2. This well is operated monthly, pumping well water into waste. Well 3 cannot be used due to the high level of iron bacteria. The water treatment plant would allow Elysian to use well 3 and provide a secondary water source for the city in the event the primary well failed or was taken down for maintenance. In November of 2020, Elysian was notified by the Department of Health that the primary well serving the city exceeded the maximum contaminant levels for gross alpha and combined radium at 226 and 228. This is the primary drinking water standard set forth for the health and safety of the Elysian residents. As a result, the Minnesota Department of Health directed corrective action to be taken by the city. The radium impacts the health risk from drinking water containing low levels of radioactivity are minimum. However, consuming water with radium levels over a long period of time could result in an increased risk of some types of cancers and kidney problems. Manganese impacts on children and adults who drink water with a high level of manganese for an extended period of time may develop problems with memory, attention, and motor skills. Infants under 1 year may develop learning and development problems if they drink too much water with manganese in it. It's my opinion that this could impact the health and growth of our children and potential leaders, and possibly deny some of them from sitting in the seats that you are currently occupying. After notification from the Department of Health, the city hired SEH to identify options for our city. Options included drilling a new well and construction of either a filtration system or a reverse osmosis water treatment plant. The funding would allow our residents to have clean, safe, and affordable drinking water. The final recommendation by SEH was a filtration treatment plant which would allow Elysian full use of both wells. The proposed water treatment plant will remove radium from the primary water supply and iron bacteria from the second well. This will give the city a redundant water supply as recommended by the 10 states' standards for drinking water. The water treatment plant would be built on the west end of town on property that is already owned by the city. It would be designed to treat 0.72 million gallons of water per day and include a clear well for pumping finished water out into the distribution system and a backwash receiving tank to collect backwash water from the filters and feed it at a controlled rate to the sanitary sewer. The system would also eliminate the need for home water softeners. As mayor, I respectfully ask you to strongly consider and support Bill 1958 and keep it moving forward. The bill will allow the citizens of Elysian to have clean, safe, and affordable drinking water. The drinking water will meet compliance standards of the Department of Health and the safety of the population. Additionally, it will allow us to use Well 3 to provide a redundant water supply to our city. This bill will greatly improve the quality of life for all of our residents, their infants, growing children, as well as adults by possibly lowering the risk of cancer and other side effects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Fardy, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing House File 1958. I do appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Fardy. Next on the agenda, Representative Erdahl, House File 270. And then, Representative Erdahl, I understand that you have the A1 amendment for reference. If you could explain that too.
You want Mary to sit next to you and sneeze? Yeah.
Did you bring cookies?
It's a good question.
Yeah, where are your cookies?
Please proceed, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We have a, the amendment, I believe you have it's in my, in one bill it's $4 million, another bill it's 7.5, and proceeding, we'd like the 7.5.
Sounds good. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Please proceed.
Okay. This is regarding the small town of Lake Lillian in Kaneohe County in my district. And they also, as we've been hearing, a lot of infrastructure, water problems explained today. We have one in Lake Lillian, and I have a testifier who could speak about it, and then I'll do a little summary.
Great, thank you.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Chairman Lee, honorable members of the committee, I'm Council Member Mike Sagdis from the City of Lake Lillian, and on behalf of the City of Lake Lillian, I'd like to thank you for hearing our testimony today. And thank Representative Erdahl for authoring House File 270. Representative Erdahl did mention that we are increasing the amount in the bill from $4 million to $7.5 million based upon more accurate costing information that we received. Also, just for clarification purposes, we're all working off the red summary sheet today in terms of reference during my comments. So we're all on the same page. Thank you very much. I'm here today requesting your support in funding appropriation of $7.5 million, which is vitally needed in order to complete the final phase of a critical infrastructure improvement program for the City of Lake Lillian. As highlighted in your briefing sheet, the infrastructure program is designed to eliminate extremely unsafe levels of arsenic from the city's water system and to bring the system into compliance with the Minnesota Department of Health standards. With an estimated cost of $15.6 million, this final phase is going to be challenging in terms of the funding and finance. Lake Lillian is a property tax poor city with a median household income of only $41,000. Each and every month, a typical family in the community spends in excess of $120 on sewer and water. This sewer and water bill amount is well above the state average for similar services. Without bonding assistance, the ability of the city to fund the final phase of the infrastructure program to eliminate arsenic threat from our drinking water is seriously in doubt. We urge you to support our funding requests so that we can meet the Minnesota Department of Health standards and the citizens of Lake Lillian can have access to safe and clean water. Thank you for your attention and consideration.
Thank you, council members. Seeing no questions, Representative Erdahl, closing comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just as a member of this committee, not just speaking about this bill, in a general sense, we've been hearing about a lot of water projects today. And we have huge needs in Minnesota to deal with them. We just heard some health concerns. Many of our testifiers today have given health concerns. And you know, we have a real challenge ahead of us in trying to figure out how to do this. Now, we have some well-intentioned folks who assert that they want to cut taxes in Minnesota, and that's fine. Property taxes, I'd like to see them go down. But it is incongruous to me that on one hand, folks can call for a property tax cut while not recognizing that bonding state funds hold down property taxes. Lake Lillian is kind of a poster child for this, as was just reported. They are requesting $7.5 million in state funds. Without it, local taxes may increase over $400 a year. And when you have a town like Lake Lillian that's 55% low to moderate income level and nearly 8% below the poverty line, this is a big deal. And it's not just here. It's in Bagley. It's in Braham. It's in other places that we've been hearing about today. And so as we go through this, I think this is something that we have to really keep in mind, the needs in our infrastructure and how are we going to address it. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, Representative Erdahl. Last bill on the agenda today, Representative Grasso, House File 1856. Please proceed, Representative Grasso, and I understand that you have two remote testifiers, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Today I'm here to present a bill for bonding for $5,925,000 for water infrastructure improvements for the city of Clearbrook. And I have remote testifiers, the city administrator Lucy Thompson to give you more information and the basic overview of the project that is needed. So with that, I'll turn it over to her. And thank goodness, I'm glad for remote testifying today because the weather is quite bad at Barth today. So thank you.
Ms. Thompson, please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, I'm Lucy Thompson with the City of Clearbrook. I'm the city clerk. The City of Clearbrook is in the process of completing a street and utility project which included water and sewer lines with a total cost of $10,500,000. The project included approximately $3.9 million in deteriorated water line replacement. The funds for this project were originally obligated in December 2016. By the time the project was bid over 4 years later in January of 2021, construction costs had increased and bids came back significantly over budget. Due to being over budget, the city delayed the proposed water tower rehabilitation and water meter projects and put the funds budgeted to these projects towards the over budget water line replacement portion of the project. The city also needed to secure additional funding to complete the street and utility project. The city has met their affordability threshold with this project. The annual debt service payment for the water portion of the project is $107,829 per year until 2062. The city's general water fund balance typically averages less than $100,000 each. The budget does not allow for additional annual debt service payments. In February of 2021, the Minnesota Department of Health issued a health advisory for manganese in the city's drinking water supply. The city currently has two water supply wells. The manganese concentration in one of the wells exceeds the EPA lifetime health advisory threshold, and the other well exceeds the health-based value for infants. The iron and manganese concentration in both wells exceeded the EPA secondary drinking water standards. The city currently does not have the ability to remove iron or manganese from their water supply. A water treatment plant is needed to remove iron and manganese to concentrations below the advisory and secondary standard levels. The city is also applying for funds from the State Drinking Water Revolving Funds to construct a water treatment plant for iron and manganese removal. The city of Clearbrook has a low medium household income roughly of $38,000. The estimated total cost for the proposed water treatment plant, water tower rehabilitation, and the water meter project is $5,925,000. The city of Clearbrook needs funding assistance to complete these projects, especially on the heels of a $10.5 million infrastructure project that included approximately $3.9 million in water system improvements. We thank you for your time and consideration and hopefully help with being able to provide safe and healthy drinking water to our residents.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Representative Grasso, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. One of the water towers up there happened to just get hit by lightning in the past few years. So that thing is fried and it needs to be repaired and or replaced. Like I had a discussion with you a while back, we live up there in a unique spot, right on the Continental Divide. Water flows north, water flows south. So it's important that we get this infrastructure completed, updated, maintained, so that the water that goes in both directions from my district is flowing clean. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grasso. Members, that concludes our meeting for today. The committee will not be meeting on Monday as it is Sovereignty Day, and the House and Senate will be proceeding with events on the House in the House chamber and at the State Capitol from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Our next meeting is Wednesday, March 15th, and we will hear more bills on an informational basis only. This meeting is adjourned.